next item on my list is backhoe. And I'm just going on, historically, we've operated with two backhoes. We've always...
Not always.
No, but we've, in the past, they've we have for quite a while, because the one at the dump's pretty old. But they've retained the old one and kept it as a backup and put it out at the spare stockpile and at Bell's and just made it easier to work. And you've always got a machine that's serviceable. And in light of we've had so much trouble with the one we have, it's a 2019. We thought we'd bring it forward this year. I'm sure it's been talked about in the past in future planning. I think I may have moved it up a year. I'm not sure.
It was in the five-year plan, it was 2028.
Moved it up quite a bit. But what's going on is what we have, and in my opinion, it shouldn't have been kept. It's a case backhoe, and it's got emission problems again, and they're very expensive. Right now, we're not using it. It's sitting. It needs a new exhaust system, and it's very expensive. And I really don't think it's a good idea to put money into replacing it. Replacing that exhaust system, I think you trade it in and get a new backhoe.
What year is the one at Bellsville?
2014.
14, and the one, the cat, is a 2019. So 14 is 10 years old. That's usually when I recommend to get rid of stuff. It's 10 years old.
The one at Bellsville is 2014.
14, yeah.
And it's a, what is that?
A case.
Well, that's a case.
Yeah.
And the one at the 2019 is a cat?
It's a cat.
So could you throw together this is just our first budget meeting, so a little business case saying what it would cost to repair it sort of thing as opposed to...
Yep, I can look further into that. It's just with the history of it and the history of the 2014 machine of that breed. I don't want to badmouth anybody, but they had some bad years. When the emission stuff came in, they just were not a very reliable machine. I know because I bought one. And it was constantly broke down.
So the 2019 CAD has the emission problem?
No, it's the 14, which is at 10 years you should be looking at replacing it. Because over the next 2 years we've got two pickup trucks that need to be replaced. The 2016 F-250 will be 10 years old in 2026, and the Chev is already more than 10 years old. I think it's a 2012. We shouldn't have it anymore. It's still been working good, but one of these days it's going to let us down, and it needs to run every day.
Yeah, well, we were sort of looking at that, I think it was in last year's budget, and then they decided the 550 was the way to go.
Yes, we stole it. We stole the money and put it up towards the 550.
But we still need two half-tons.
We still need two half-tons, yeah. Okay.
So... you could sell, you think, on the open market? Do you think you could get more money on the open market for the case?
Well, that'll be part of my research. Let's look at, see how much it's going to cost to get it fixed, and see if getting it fixed we can get more money for it, so that we would put it for sale.
Do you think you'd get more if you put it for sale than traded it in?
I'd have to do that
they're
research.
They're really going, the prices are crazy.
Yeah, I'd have to do some research on that and let you know. That's. I think it's a good idea to do a little bit more before we finalize this budget.
What we've put in the last 5 years into each of these backhoes, like, because there was, you know, the 1 year we put like $30,000, it seemed like, into the one backhoe. So if we can look at that, it's sort of the trend of, you know, how much is being they've been costing, which ones have been costing.
Yeah,
that's helpful.
Yeah.
And you have a record of the hours on them, right?
Yep. Yeah. We're done with the backhoe. I'll bring back a report sometime in December on the backhoe. So next is MicroSeal. It's something we've done in the past. It's highly recommended when you surface treat a road with tar and chip, double surface treatment, that you microseal it or slurry seal it within the first 2 years. We're behind in that program. We've got a few roads that need to be done, so I chose completing one we started last year, and then Manitou Drive on Tate's Island is getting to be a couple of years old. It should be done to preserve it. It'll just prolong its life quite a bit, and that would be two projects for this year to keep that going.
Now, there was a suggestion, Councillor Kekna, maybe you could expand on this too. You talked about from the transfer station down to Hurdville as well, whether that's a possibility, the road's not in too bad a shape, rather than go through what we did on the first part of the Center Road, that possible micro seal as well, bringing in a company rep to look at it and see if it's possible.
Well, I was talking to reps from Miller Paving Limited and Duncor, and the representative from Miller was very enthusiastic and helpful in wanting to sort of, you know, explain and provide information on the different products, and it seemed like there was about, there was more than four products available now. Before,
yeah,
we were always doing slurry seal, but then I found out about the micro seal, and I mentioned that to the previous public works superintendent, and then we started going with micro seal. But then looking it up, there's even more products, and some that might be a little more suitable for some of our roads.
Yeah.
And that they've been using for the last 8 years that say have been holding up very well. So anyways, number one is to find out which product, and that's what I was hoping to do, was that we'd have a representative from, you know, whatever contractors that we have that do these jobs to come and explain to council, so we all have an idea of, you know, what are the options, and then we can go take a look with the representative, and he can, you know, give a first-hand interpretation of, you know, with comparing it to the, you know, the hundreds of roads they've done, which product would hold up the best.
Yeah.
But anyways, looking at Center Road from Hurdville Road intersection to Lees Road, 95% of that road is still in very good shape.
It's in very good shape, yeah.
And so, you know, there's only a couple of corners basically that are in sort of rough shape, but not in detrimental shape. That if we could extend the life of Center Road with a product that would really hold out well for that application, so that we don't have to, so that the entire Center Road is in A1 shape for the next how many years?
Yeah.
And without having to be worrying about coming up with another $1 million, you know, for another section of road.
Yeah.
So just to look at that as one of the options, so that anyone traveling that, you know, Center Road will say, wow, this, they've got, and hopefully after doing Hurdville Road, that, you know, the citizens will be pleased that there's a good section of important roads that are in A1 shape.
I agree. I can give you some pricing on that. It's just how much is available. I got a pretty big budget. I could add a lot more. You're on the right track. And I need to learn more about the new sealing products as well, because it's been shifting over the years. And I've learned something opposite from some of the training I've been to just recently, that sometimes in a rural municipality you lean back towards the slurry seal because it's more flexible. Because if your base isn't strong enough, it allows that movement. And slurry seal is just basically tar and fine aggregate. So it can actually, in the sun in the summertime, heal itself. Whereas you go to micro seal, it's got polymers in it, which polymers are plastic. They go hard. They're stronger, create a stronger road, but stronger breaks. Stronger does, when it breaks, it doesn't heal because it's plastic, it's not tar.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very complicated, the different products they're coming up with, and it's really worth having them here to give us a presentation.
So you're suggesting before the snow flies?
Well, when I talked to them, they had said that they were more than willing to come in November.
Yeah.
Just give them a date, and they'd be here and give the presentation.
And I'm sure, and I will see them. I will see them at the Good Roads Convention, and I see them at our supervisors' meetings. They attend.
So are they setting up?
They're available to do that. they're quite happy to help educate us, and so that we're headed in the right direction.
But the good roads is not until next
not,
year.
Not until, yeah.
But
it's just, yeah.
But are we setting up a date with that, Carla?
We chose to postpone it.
Why?
Because I was so new in the position.
Okay.
I mean, I need to
okay.
look at what we've got and where we need to spend the money, like...
But still, wouldn't it be beneficial to the council to hear what's out there?
Especially when there's no cost to the township.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Sure. And he was, though, this fellow was willing to drive around with me for a day and look at the roads and,
okay.
and make suggestions on specific roads. And yes, that's a good idea, but it was just a little bit
yeah.
too soon for me. That's it. It wasn't anything else.
But I think that would be good to, you know, we're talking budget.
Yeah.
And I know Roshan doesn't want more figures in there, but.
we can certainly add.
That,
I mean, that's a great idea.
If you go that route with the micro seal or slurry seal or whatever, while you're doing the others, or even if you are doing the others, I know what you say within a couple of years, but if the options there too, they're still okay for another year and you want to finish off Center Road, I think that should be an option. So it'd be good if they did come, yeah. And now, keeping in mind, of course, that they have a product to sell. So you have
oh,
to
sure.
be very careful with what they tell you.
Yeah, I know some of them. I've got certain ones you learn to trust that they'll steer you in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, I've even had guys from Duncor and say, no, you should go to asphalt. And they don't do asphalt, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, they'll give you an honest answer.
So is the slurry seal is actually, sounds like it's actually what our tar and chip used to be like.
It's the same as tar and chip. The aggregate's finer.
Yeah. Because our tar and chip before is a lot different than the tar and chip that we've been getting. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't think they've been putting enough tar in it. Because it just looked like gravel, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, is that an idea here? I don't know whether Tom
yeah.
feels comfortable with
yeah, sure.
we should do it.
Great. That's it. It was something we were working on, and if you want to bump it up so we're talking about it in this year's coming budget, then great, we'll do that. But it's something we were definitely planning on doing.
So we will arrange to have them come.
And even if it's going to be a special meeting, so that if you know if it's going to be too busy scheduling them on a council meeting, you know we're November, you know third week in November now. So call tomorrow or call on Monday and see when they can come. Like they were willing to come almost the next week when I talked to them in October. So.
Have to control the weather until then.
Well, I think yeah, even if they give the information so that
right.
we understand what the options are, so that we're informed, we're knowledgeable, I think that's helpful in any situation.
Most of them have presentations.
And they indicate
pictures and
yeah,
stuff so you
yeah.
can see what's...
And this is the one individual I talked to said they'll tailor the presentation to the audience. So if there's people that know nothing about roads, that they'll tailor the presentation, or if it's a room full of engineers, they'll tailor the presentation accordingly. So,
perfect.
Okay. Yeah.
Next item are all my small items that they're capital purchases, but they're small capital purchases. So a slip tank for the F-250. When we rent machines and do these construction projects and we have machines far away from the shop, we've got to transfer fuel. And so we need a proper fuel tank for the back of that truck. So we're getting the new 5500 Ram to replace the 550. It is a gas vehicle, not diesel. We've currently been getting our gasoline from the fire department at Station 2. So that'll be three trucks and all our lawnmowers and stuff going, getting fuel out of their tank, which I don't feel comfortable doing because it's not a huge tank. I think we should have our own tank
yeah.
at the yard. And then we're sure that if they have an emergency, their tank is full. It's only what they're using. And then it's just more convenient because the guys are, they fill up the truck. When you're finished at the end of the day, the last thing you do is you fill up your machine or truck, whatever you're using. So if it's at the yard, it's better. There's a few things. Cemetery fence gates are in disrepair.
Just back to the tank.
Yep.
And that would be in a similar location what we have now.
Yeah, there's room to put it right beside. I've spoken to the people in Perry Sound that deliver our fuel, and
okay,
they gave me that pricing. And
so there's still room, if we talk expansion of the public works garage at some point?
Yes.
It wouldn't be in the way? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. cemetery.
Yeah, cemeteries, the fencing and gates, that's self-explanatory. You can see when you drive by, they're starting to get in disrepair, so we need to put a little bit of money into them. Scott has done some this fall, just with some fence posts and stuff that we had around, but I need to purchase him some materials so he can make them look better, and I noticed the gates are broken at the
yeah.
at the entrance. We should make it look proper.
So,
yeah.
So are you thinking the whole fencing and gates, or just
no? I don't think we're gonna replace anything. I think we're gonna repair.
Okay.
Yeah, like the page wire around the outside, the posts are rotten right off.
Oh, okay.
It's gonna fall down, and it's gonna be a big job to repair it.
Yeah.
We let
so
that.
So then, would you paint the fence that's there?
I think we should.
Yeah.
It's pretty faded, isn't it?
Talking about fencing and gates, there was discussion about the lower gate at the transfer station.
Yes.
I'm wondering if we could maybe put out some, you know, expressions of interest of anyone to repair that gate. It's an expensive gate. It functioned perfectly for 15 years, and it's a shame to see it just hanging there, dangling, and
yeah.
getting smashed by the snowplow every year. So, if we could maybe get an estimate on what it would cost to get that thick welded and realigned,
yep.
so that it's functioning the way it's supposed to.
We can do that, and that probably can be under operating. Not a capital project. Shelving and storage. That's just to tidy up the shop, make more room. It's part of my ongoing dreams of expansion because it's too small to service us.
So, in your tidying up of the shop, have you found more room?
No. Be more room to walk around, so it'll be safer if we get things up on shelves. No.
No.
You can't make more room.
Okay.
If you've got 7 vehicles and only 4 bays, there's only one answer. And they have to be kept inside in the wintertime. The overhead doors in that shop are as old as the shop, so they're wore out. So I think the doors themselves are still good, but a lot of the hardware needs to be replaced. From what I understand from talking to the crew, that there was someone come in and gave them a quote. So that's how I came up with that number. Right now, they move away from the wall so much that there's no weather stripping you can put on big enough to seal them up. It's just the bearings are all wore out.
And are they AODA compliant?
Don't want to get into that one. We all new buildings.
And one of our zero-turn mowers is getting old, so and we spend a lot of time welding and replacing it, so we'd like to get a new one for the Parks Department.
And there was one just recently purchased.
Where was that? There was one just bought, was it last year or the year before?
I'm not sure.
Last year.
It looks fairly new.
And
this is part of the reason for this. Those two machines are identical, and the new one is a Kubota, and you can feel the difference when you drive it. They're just solid, well-built
What's
machines.
The other one? Hustler.
Hustler.
Oh.
You can feel it flex underneath
yeah,
you as
yeah.
you go over uneven terrain, and then sooner or later you have to weld it.
So a new Kubota would be $10,000?
That'll be a little more than that.
Yeah.
We're hoping that the Hustler still worth something. Maybe we can pawn it off on somebody. It works well. It just, we're constantly fixing it because it's just not heavy duty enough. They're used almost daily in the summertime.
I was looking at them at the Kubota dealer in Gravenhurst there, and yeah, they have a. I was looking at one for myself, and then there was this beauty there, quite large, and they said, well, that's for parks and recreation. A lot of townships are getting it, and it priced in, I think he said around $15,000. Be a heck of a machine.
Yeah, I don't think we need anything that big.
Maybe not. No,
I was kind of shopping online when I was doing this. And
yeah, it's the biggest and kind of thing. So, oh yeah, you can go down a bit, you know, and still a good machine.
I think we paid a little more than 10 for the one we have.
Kubota, we paid 11,000 some change.
But that's the number I found online. So until you told me I was wrong, so I just thought we'd be able to get something for the hospital.
I just want confirmation, Councillor Haskins, that you're making a donation, you think?
You just buy one, we'll borrow it. Scotty's got a
trailer. Or if I want to use it more, I'll just head off to the parks.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's
volunteer, right?
Yeah. We'll have a fuel tank for you to fill up that.
Right on. Yeah, and talk about fuel tanks, because of out of the ridge, got diesels beside the gas, new people on board or whatever, pump the diesel into gas, vice versa. So I just a little warning that great big words or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
Oh, because the equipment we have would cost drastic.
So that's it for my stuff, other than I would strongly urge, I see what Roshan has put away for future building expansion or new building, whatever we decide on, I would strongly urge making that larger, really. The Salt Dome, we're going to have our buildings assessed this year. I suspect it's near the end of its life. There were a poor design, those buildings, and several of them have collapsed around Ontario over the years.
We just got them, it seems like.
Time flies, and it's too small. So that's one thing, and the other thing is an expansion of the works garage is at least two bays, and there's not a lot of room there, with the Salt Dome being where it is, so keep in mind about using the pit property is maybe an alternative to have two buildings rather than one. Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing some more work on the feasibility of options to present to you at some point, but I know that's not going to happen right away, so I just think that it's important to plan, because a new building, if that's the way we went, I think you're looking at about $2 million nowadays. And
Roshan still got the pictures when that building went up in 2000. So.
Yeah, and I bet you it didn't cost a whole lot. And I know just an addition, so I did an addition on white stones, and that was probably 8 years ago, was more than $600,000. So I don't know what that would be now. And it was not a very big addition.
So we have a report from 2021 from Tatum Engineering.
Yeah.
On the different options and costs.
And I'd like to see that.
Yeah, and when it was actually built, I mean, the idea was we wanted a five bay. I went back through and checked the resolutions at the time. Couldn't afford it, so we went with the four, but left room for another bay. And because the septic had to be a certain distance away as well.
Yeah.
So we purchased property next door with the previous owner, and we were sort of guaranteed that there would be room for another bay on that end. Wouldn't interfere with the distance from the septic.
Yeah,
but
I think it's doable. We're tight for space,
yeah.
And the community's only going to continue to grow.
Right.
Ideas I've been kicking around with Carly is we should start keeping our stockpiles out at the pit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when you start thinking about that, then maybe the extra building should be out at the pit to store the backhoe in. You know what I mean? For the summertime, the backhoe would be there, in the wintertime, it could be at where the winter sand is. But if the gravel's out there and we start using the building, you put the gravel piles out there, and man, that frees up a lot of room.
Yeah.
It's
just
that far away and it's on the highway, you know.
That would have to be coordinated, certainly. But, you know, the situation, if you're going around in the winter, you don't want to keep coming back to the building to fill up with the sand. And so it'll have to be coordinated. I'm sure you're working on that.
Yeah, no, I think that we've got some options, and it might be the most economical. Put money into the building we have to make it serviceable and have an extra building,
yeah,
sort of out by a stockpile. It could be storage in the wintertime and, you know, somewhere for the backhoe in the summertime, and the backhoe is where the gravel is, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So the Tatum report, it lays out different options, including a satellite location at Bellisle.
Yeah.
So that you're not running to the other end of the township to get a load of sand for sanding the roads.
Yeah.
That you've got a stockpile, half of what you have is out there, and or whatever, because it's approximately half.
Yeah.
On either side. So, but anyways, the 221 TA report has options and costs. Yeah.
So, in case if we need to replace it or add a new one, or we move it to the new location, what the timeline when we are looking at that?
2050.
Yeah,
yes,
I need that.
Yesterday. Yesterday. We have
yeah.
four trucks and four bays.
Right.
And a backhoe and a grader. So something's kicked outside, and that's never good for a machine. The grader won't start, but neither one of those machines will start if they're outside.
Sounds like our original fire hall we had
yeah.
without the heat. We had to keep it plugged in the whole time. I think that at this stage, looking at the age of the garage too, that we add on and then move some of the stockpiles, as you said, it seems to make sense. Maybe not in this way.
Not in this way.
The other thing that I noticed, this is part of the 5-year plan before you arrived, was the Gray Owl Bridge redeck. It was on the list, and I don't know if that's been investigated.
Yep, I have reviewed both the bridge study, and I inspected myself,
okay.
and we're safe for a while longer.
Okay.
It's not identified in the bridge study at all, and I went and looked at it. There's a couple of things that are identified in the bridge study, but it's not the deck.
Okay, good. Speaking of that study, I wondered if some culverts were missed. The one on McKellar Lake Road, for instance, is not listed.
I wondered the same thing. I'll review the parameters that give it status as a structure.
Right.
Because
okay.
it's a structures study, so it's over a certain size. So I know they're deep there, but
yeah.
I don't think they're big enough to warrant being on that study, but man, they're an expensive culvert to replace. So I would like them to be on the study.
Yeah, that one, and they're probably too small too in Rainsway. Like they're fairly large
yeah.
going in there too. But
yeah.
maybe they don't meet the criteria.
They probably don't.
No.
But I'll look into it. They could have missed them.
Yeah. Okay.
So you did mention that. The list that you provided is not comprehensive. There are things in there that still could be added to the list.
Yeah, there's roads that have never been that are due for slur seal. You mentioned a very important project that slurry seal the rest of Center Road to would be great. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. I didn't want to add too many hundreds of thousands. Rob really.
So what I think would be very, and I think Roshan mentioned that you're working on the new asset management plan. So to have that spreadsheet that has all the assets listed so that we can follow through and see what was done when it's going to be scheduled for and how much was spent.
That's my goal is to, yes. it's nice to have that to look at and I haven't, since I've been here, had time to get that deep into all our assets to help assess that. Because there's assessments from professionals and there's things that we've done in the past, but I like to go do it myself and say, yeah, Tatum says we need this, but man, this road's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like to use my own eyes and make my own judgments.
So that's good. The reason why I mention this is because then certain assets don't get the management and maintenance that they require and fall off the radar.
Yeah.
One of them being the roof right above us, that in September 2023, the community center roof was done, except for this section right above us. And it was inspected, and it was said, well, it can last till next spring, 2024. And it has never been discussed. It's fallen off the radar, basically. So I think that the asset management plan is a useful tool to ensure that we don't forget about assets.
Absolutely.
I think that
and that's noted on that plan that this section was never done, because I would never have known if you hadn't told me.
So no, but it does in the asset management spreadsheet. It has all the assets and it mentions sort of certain sections or certain portions of the assets. But I just was thinking about with an updated asset management plan, those kind of things would be noted. Community center roof, except for the section was done
mm-hmm.
in 2023. So that was an estimate of 50,000. I think that we need to have that added in our capital budget for this year. And as well, as we mentioned about Hardy's Road, it's about a 1 kilometer stretch there.
Yes, it's 1 kilometer. It's 1 kilometer. I did measure it. I went out and sort of did my own prioritization, and that one there just isn't room for this year. But we should start the process like we did on Herville Road. We should get Bob looking at it this summer, get the surveying done, and make his suggestions on how to repair it, because it's all base that's failing there. It's not, no surface is failing. The surface is poor because of the base.
Really? So it'd have to replace the dig out and replace the base?
There'd be a lot of dig out there. Yeah, the surface is deformed and popped.
And how long a stretch is that?
1 kilometer.
Just to Lindsay Lane, right?
Just to Lindsay Lane.
Yeah. I measured as well. Like, you know, certain sections, you know, here's 500 meters, you know, that's not too bad. It worked out to about a kilometer. That wasn't bad.
About a kilometer.
Now, you mentioned the community center. I had to look back through some of the things that we're talking about too. The copper pipes were supposed to all be replaced or something. Is that even in, on the radar? I don't know.
It was in 5-year plan, but
right.
Then.
And we're kind of waiting for the building study that we're going to do in 2024 to have a professional determine what our buildings need.
Okay.
Yeah, because the floor in the gymnasium
too is
getting awful. You can see
I was thinking
early.
That, but I thought, oh, don't even mention it. But I was thinking it would be sure nice to have a whole new floor in there.
Now, talking about Hardy's Road, should we be budgeting for a road study on more of the Herdville Road?
I think we've already done that. Or I think
he's done all of the.
He hasn't done that. Complete study of it, but I think we've given him the go-ahead to
for the sections.
For he split it into three sections, and
right. But did we allow? Is that in this proposed capital budget? More studies for the Herdville Road?
No, I didn't include it yet.
Oh, he's got the go-ahead. I mean, we talked about it last time we talked to him, and he mentioned I think that it'd be a continuation of what's there. I asked him whether he had the time to do it, and I think he. Sort of figures he would.
They were planning on it.
Yeah. I don't know whether we would necessarily. We don't have any figures. I guess we could sort of go with what he charged for the first part of Kerrville to see. But I don't know how detailed, as Tom said, he's going to do it from Burnett's through to the end of Kerrville, but I don't know whether he's going to draw.
He gave us a brief report.
Right.
But not a detailed report.
Right.
He did give us his recommendation on which parts were the worst.
Right.
I think for
budget purposes, how much?
For budget purposes, I would concentrate on Hardy's. You have his assessment, and it's like his in his words, it's not too bad from Burnett's on. It needs to be done, but we have to prioritize. And not only it's not money I'm thinking of, I'm thinking of the engineer's time. We've either got to hire another engineer or say, can you please concentrate on Hardy's and get that ready for us? Because I noticed I was waiting on other answers from him, and he was focused on Herdville, and I didn't get the answers till Herdville was done.
Yeah, it's too bad we couldn't have got to Jones's Road with the part now, because that would have covered the worst of it, because from Burness to Jones is still kind of iffy. From Jones's to Center Road, that's reasonable.
Reasonable.
Now, from Center Road to Four Corners, that's rough again.
That's rough again, yeah. And I was hoping we'd do it, because then that's why we did that culvert. The culvert was bad.
So you're suggesting that somebody be put in there anyway, he's going to do it in the new year, so.
Yeah, just saying, if the study's going to be done, I guess we'll need it in the budget if we already give them directions.
Yeah, it'd just be a matter of fine-tuning and finding out what he would charge. And I don't know whether you can use the figures that he's put in for the first part of Herdville Road, and just this might be a different product that he's coming up with, so you'd have to talk to him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But that could be done before our next meeting.
Yeah, I would almost think if Carly or Tom just give them a call and say, okay, approximately what would it cost just for budgeting purposes at this point, the maximum to do the study for the rest of Herdville Road, even though we may not do it in the next year or two, but it's ready there, and it would help us get prices going.
Because he's planning on doing it.
Yeah.
So we should. He's planning on doing it, so we need to have it in our budget.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, agreed.
And also the Hardee's Road or just Hardwell?
Well, I knew Hardee's Road was knocking right on the door. I was thinking behind some a couple of sections of Hardwell, but
it won't last that long.
Right.
So he should probably do that too, and then whatever we can do, we do.
And the biggest thing is when he can see the surface and see how it's failing, that's how he makes his assessment. If we grind it up, put it back to gravel, and we can keep it smooth with the grader, which we probably can't because the traffic count in there is so high, he can't see it, and we wouldn't get very good engineering on the next project. So we need him to do it before it gets,
right?
Before we tear it up.
We need budget amounts in there for them, you're saying, for Hardwell and Hardee's.
Right. Yeah, he was able to, I mean, it's late in the year, certainly, for 152, but he has come up with it along with the other studies he was doing.
Yep.
So I think he can do both Hardwell and Hardee's.
This year we budgeted 40,000 for the 152 and other roads study.
That might give you a ballpark then, yeah. I don't know.
No, yeah, and that's, I guess, whatever we're paying Bob to assess those other roads. Yeah. The people don't go ahead with that. I guess we're kind of saddled with that cost.
Well, yes, that was the idea. We'd always talked about that, how we're going to break down the costs in the future. So that's something that, if you remember, the resolution does say, though, that all these costs for engineering, the drawings, et cetera, could be factored in.
Mm-hmm.
And but you're right, if they don't go ahead with it, then yes, it's all
yeah.
the taxpayers are paying for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's money well spent in the sense that Councillor Zulak said before. Then you have it available for future councils, and they can go with that or not go with it. But.
Yeah, because how many times have we said, did they do work on such and such? When did they do that? You know, and you're trying to look for it. But if you have all these here roads and you have what the engineer's report is for them, if the future council wants to move ahead with them, there may be a few changes, but there shouldn't be that many.
And that would be useful if the asset management spreadsheet had a link to the different reports for road study, like engineering reports that have been done on roads, just somehow if you can link it in on a sidebar of additional information, and it just makes everything so much easier instead of having to go back and try to find things where you can just click on, go to the asset management plan and the spreadsheet and just click on all the things they need.
It sure would be nice if there was some grant come available and we had all that stuff already and prepared for
that's
these
true.
Roads.
It used to be shovel ready, so
yeah.
That's how we got some projects in the past.
So if we had, you never know.
Yeah. Good point. Well, that's the extent of your...
That's the extent.
Wow, that was...
That's not...
Thought we'd be here till 7.
Well, we can keep adding. Because I was in Martha's Drive and it's looking pretty tired. It's still smooth,
yeah.
So a little traffic and still smooth.
Well, we wondered at the time because that was one of the first ones that the developer decided to asphalt and rather than a tar and chip. And we knew at some point it's been good.
It's past its lifespan, but it's still in, you know, for the number of residents in there, it's still smooth, and
yeah.
You shouldn't be driving very fast on that road. But you can see it's deformed and that it's tired.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other department projects?
Yeah.
Back to CBO.
The CBO building department, he's requesting the vehicle for his own reserve account. He's requesting amount of 45,000, and the current vehicle was purchased around 2015-16, and it's almost 10 years now. and obviously start showing the wear and tear, so we would like to buy a new vehicle next year.
Now you get a good trade-in value on what we have, right?
Well, I think the fire department's looking for another vehicle.
Oh, okay.
Travel the guys around.
Well, a tow a big trailer? With a big water tank on it?
I just wondered if the amount he put in there was enough for a new vehicle. Like he mentioned Equinox, I guess.
Did ask him, and he was thinking that he might get 5,000-6,000 for the used one.
Oh, okay.
And the remaining is the coming out of reserve, so he should be okay.
I know we always put away a certain amount per year in reserve for the vehicle. How much was it we were put?
3,000. That's why I put a 3,000 in reserve for the vehicle next year. For a couple of years, we stopped doing it because he had a good balance in the reserve.
Oh.
And then he had a surplus, so we were okay. Now, next year, I'm going to start $3,000.
Yeah, which isn't really quite enough, probably, but something. Huh?
Yeah.
Did you say it was in 2014?
I think 2015, 16, yeah. So next year will be around 10 years.
Do you know how many kilometers is on it?
No, I don't.
Okay. Maybe just an explanation, too, since we're on that now. It's on page 14, I guess, under building department. Down near the bottom of 14, you've got surplus in parentheses in a couple of places. And I noticed throughout the budget, too, I think you have that in as miscellaneous revenue.
Yeah, so in 2021 or 22, he had a surplus amount because all of a sudden he got the very good revenue due to the building permit. So that initially I put it the part of the vehicle reserve, but then I think Mike Kekel and Councillor Kekkonen mentioned that he should be put in separate as a surplus. So, you know, other than vehicle, if we need to buy that amount, we can use for that amount. That's why that's a surplus amount is that one.
I just wanted to clarify, because I know we had questions before, at the end of the year, if you have money left over in a sense.
Right.
That's into the next year's budget as money that you have, or is that classified as a surplus?
It's classified surplus and we'll put in the reserve.
Councilor Kekkonen.
So for building department or for the...
No, just for everything.
Building. Okay, so for the committees, then instead of it going into the general surplus, municipal surplus at the end of the year, then we would request that that we pass a resolution requesting that it go into the recreation committee equipment reserve, or you know, for historical to go into a certain reserve, so that it doesn't go into the just the general pool of reserves, just
to
ensure to
that specific
yes,
committee.
Fire department. I think we did that as well. Made sure that the reserves went into or the surplus went into one of the reserves. So it's as long as the amount that's the surplus goes into a reserve that's visible, so that when we're looking at the reserve list, we can see the total amount of reserves. So there is this hidden surplus account somewhere where we can't see that, you know, that you know what the real amount of reserves that we have are.
Yeah.
And so for fire department, historical and recreation, is their surplus from this year going to be automatically put into their reserves, or should do they need motions?
I would appreciate if you can give us the motion.
A motion.
So for the next council meeting?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, our next rec meeting, I'll have to make sure of motions. One thing about the transfer reserve, yeah, it's still part
or maybe
of the township funds. So.
If there's one motion which says going forward, if there's a reserve, just put in the reserve account. So council doesn't need to do every year. That will be kind of general motion, and it will cover going forward all years as long as there's a surplus.
So council can pass a resolution at the next council meeting for these committees?
Yeah.
For those, any reserves of these committees?
Because committee may forget, you know, if it's not put on their agenda. So, yeah, I would like that idea that just going to happen through council rather than relying on the committees to pass motions in case it's forgotten.
Yeah, sounds good. Anything else we need to cover?
I just would like to ask the council for the next budget meeting. If you can tell me what would you like to see and from this capital budget and what items which council thinks, you know, we don't need a next capital budget meeting, so that it will be easier for me to prepare the budget report.
I think it's going to be challenging as for us to make any type of firm commitment on any of, you know, these capital budget allocations until we see what the operating budget is going to look like too and how much that levy is going to increase.
Well, it has to be done together, you're right. At some point, and I had asked Roshan about that. I think he said, what was it, capital, 25%?
Yeah, it's in my summary that it's, as of now, it's 25% of levy goes to the capital budget, which is on average is 15%, 16, around 16%, so this is 25%, so it's way higher compared to the previous years. So if we are going to add more...
Yeah. Yeah, we already know automatically there's you know, some that have gone up, like OPP, 20%, and there's others as well, I believe, so...
Yeah.
And plus just with inflation, the cost of everything going up.
Yeah, I think... We could almost try to make up our mind what kind of percentage increase we are going to put to the people, because realistically, it's to really catch up to how far we are behind, it would just be some ridiculous figure. So what if we could give direction to Rojan saying, you know what, let's, in your proposal to us next time, allot, say, a 5% tax increase, you know, and go with that, and then we can fluctuate a little bit up or down from that kind of thing. But I know for a fact we're going to have to up it at least that much to, and that's not even going to come close to what we need. And then whether you include all the whole wish list kind of thing, and you can say to us, this is how much you're short.
Well, I'm thinking that's what we used to do, include it, and then you start cutting.
Yeah.
Rather than 5 and start at it. So I think you start at your 15-20%, whatever it comes out to, and then start deducting and say, well, this is all we can afford. And some projects are going to have to fall by the wayside, put off for another year.
Yeah, because
so I think you have to get the whole picture right up start, that, and it's frightening, and then start cutting.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, rather than give Roshan direction to keep it to 5%, I would suggest go all out, but like he says too, we have to agree as a council which ones we're cutting right now, so he doesn't put them in there and just take up extra time and increase the percentage. But it might come back at 15%.
Yeah, we may change our, take it out and then put
right.
it back in.
See, the trouble is we have to do it as a council meeting, so individuals can't necessarily send them anything. It has to be a council decision, and this is what we have to discuss. What can we? And there'll be disagreements and.
Yeah, we can do it as you're suggesting, Dave. It's kind of the same thing in a way. It's just, okay, we'll cut it until we get down to the 5%.
Well, I'm thinking, yeah, the public has to realize. That they have to see that you know, that a lot of these are on their wish list as well, and say, okay, if we're going to give you everything you want, this is what it's going to cost you, but we're going to start cutting now, and you'll see the reasons why.
Mm-hmm. So I would almost, yeah, so if he allows everything in here, if he's going to come to us probably saying, well, if you up the tax is 15%, you can do all of this if you want to talk it down, or do you, if you really feel some of this is necessary, are you looking at possibility of debenturing somewhere along the way? So yeah, something around those lines, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm thinking in this particular case, we haven't heard back yet for the unassumed roads, but once we get talking to them and look at you know, they get the report, that's where you might start talking to venturing as well.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Because it's a long time, long term to get money returned. And you'd be paying over the years as you're receiving money as well, rather than putting the money up that from Rochon as well. What are we paying as line items for debenture now? And how many debentures do you want out there? And if we're finding out from Carling, and I guess at some of the other places, they're reaching limits for the money that we can actually borrow indefinitely. So we have to be careful of that as well.
Again, if we, the council would like to see the full picture, then I guess then that should be the part of the operating budget then in January instead of, you know, presenting again in December, because I won't have a full picture then.
Yeah, no, I agree. Council Peckman too. I think it has to go with the operating. And it'll be a worst case scenario sort of thing as far as figures.
Yeah, and then if we say, okay, so what's it, that's what it is with everything in it, so if we cut this item, what's it going to give us?
Right.
Right? And then we cut this one, what will it be? So that's, I think, how we used to do it.
We used to do it, and I know it's hard to do it. Usually what would happen is you'd leave because you couldn't do it right on the spot and come back to another meeting.
Yeah.
And I know you don't want a lot of meetings, but and say, okay, I've made the refinements from what council has discussed, and this is a new budget, and the percentage increase.
Yes, you remember Sean, we'd be have this big old calculator here, and we'd say, take that off, what does it leave us with now?
Yeah, well, we've come pretty close. Rojan gives us, you know, what each percentage is worth, like I think it's somewhere maybe around $40,000 kind of thing. So if you have that figure for us, then we kind of gives us a rough idea of what we're attempting to do.
Does Nick have any comments? Still with us?
I am still with you. I will tell you that number one, I'm not feeling well. But number two is that the mic that we had at the end of the table for both Rob and Tom, and the mic that Rochon is using right now are virtually worthless. I think we should just throw them out and buy them something that works. Well, not them, buy us.
Well, that sounds good. And that's good to have feedback. We're sitting here all the time. We're not in your situation, so we don't hear it.
I was actually thinking the easy way to solve this would be to have somebody in the meeting that's physically present,
yes,
listening through headphones, and then when you realized I can't hear a word that they're saying, we could stop them and say, I'm not sure. I think my guess is that the mic is that's at the far end of the table from you, David.
Right.
It's the one that you used to have when people were saying you couldn't hear half of it.
Right.
Because it seems to be extremely directional. At least with Rochon, I can hear something is being said. I don't understand it, but I can hear something. Whereas that one, I swear to God, most of the time Tom was talking, I couldn't hear a word. And I thought it would just be too disruptive if I just constantly jumped in and said that, so I didn't do it. But in any event, I mean, whatever the solution is, I don't know, Carly, could we ask Near North Business Machines or Systems, to, you know, give us an option? I mean, Edward, or the mics that the council is using right now, are they the best that we can get? And if necessary, buy some more.
They're pretty well the best we can get, and I think the problem is people need to have the mics right near their mouth. Unfortunately, a lot of people get in discussion and then move their head away from the mic, because Tom did sit fairly far back. I was looking at the captioning, and it was catching it, but that's good to know that you weren't able to hear it.
So we just need some duct tape.
I know from international meetings that I held at work that I used to use. You can call it a lapel mic if you want. I wore it with a lanyard around my neck, and it hung exactly where it was, so that you know, even as I moved, you could still hear the sound, because that was a huge problem when I had phone calls with, at the most, 17 countries, and I had them once a week, and so that if you had a mic that didn't work, you were dead, right? And this is the same. I'm surprised that other listeners, although I know we don't have very many, don't complain about it, because it, by and large, the council stuff was good. Debbie, perhaps, is more the frequency of your voice than anything else, but I could hear you extremely well, and I could hear the others okay, enough to understand. You know, we've got to do something about this, because, you know, we could say it's a public meeting, but if you can't hear anything, then there's not much point, so.
And that might be a reason why people don't tune in, because the audio was so poor at the beginning. that people said,
yeah.
I can't even sit here and try to listen to this.
Yeah. And I take your point. I think the biggest point that I took away from this, I mean, I've got lots of notes I made as I went along, but is that the stuff that we're planning for roads, for road upgrades and things like that, just looking at the numbers that Bob's provided, and I don't have any particular insight other than just common sense, that some of those numbers are so large, I suspect that from the ones I've seen, I can't imagine people on those roads wanting to pursue those, because it's just a very large amount of money to be paid for by each ratepayer. That's all. Now, and that's, you know, that's got nothing to do with me saying it. It'll be more what they think about it, but I'm happy to share what we have with those roads groups and say, you know, here's at least an estimate of the bill, and obviously there's some flexibility, but let us know what you think, because if we don't have to deal with those amounts of money, well then, you know, that gives us some wiggle room back, and I know it's basically only just temporary funding on the basis that they would have to pay for it in due course, but if it's right out of the realm of possibility, which I think it is, and certainly actually not to be forgotten, is that we don't have anything in here for Deerfield and Bay, which that bill, by my guess, is certainly something in the range of $2 million. But again, it's omitted from this list. I mean, but not that I think it's reasonable at those prices that it would ever happen, but by the same token, on the basis that this was discussed, including with residents from the road, we should at least have it on the list, even if all we do is then discard it. And I think the same thing will happen with the 152 roads, and I don't know, probably Moffat too. That's a very large figure. So, and you said, you know, we had a, well, I can't talk about here, but we had an issue that came up and closed in our last meeting too, for a much lesser amount, much, much lesser, like 10% of that. So I suspect that these amounts are just going to scare people off here, right? So.
Well, what will be plan to do, I don't know whether you heard it or not, we're actually going to meet with these people who are representative with the new figures, and we'll let them make the call. Deerfield, as you know, never did get back to us, so
Yeah. Maybe
that's a reason why it's not in there. And what we're doing with what Bob's doing, he's following our actual roads policy. So,
yeah.
I mean, we're caught in this. We have to prepare something that meets the standards that council has set, or township has set, the past council, actually, through the roads policy. And so, If they're not going to proceed with it, you're right, then we can take it out of the budget. So we'll have to leave it up to them to see what they want to do.
I agree, and I'm all for that. I mean, you know, we'll follow a democratic process and say, here's what we've got, let's discuss it, let's figure out, you know, what wiggle room there is, or what changes you'd like to see, and whether that's acceptable, and then go forward from there. And I don't think it'll be a very fun process, but I think it's necessary, and if it eliminates a number of projects right off the top, especially this year or this coming year, I think that would be worth knowing. It's not desirable, it's not what I'm aiming for, it's just simply a fact that we should do that and save ourselves some grief.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you'll be feeling better.
Yeah, me too. But, anyway, it comes and goes, but anyway, I think I'll be okay. So it was interesting, and like I said, I'm actually very impressed with the video quality, which I have to watch before, but I don't remember this, but when I zoomed in, I'm looking at it on my phone, quite frankly, which is very small. I can zoom in and see actually quite a great deal of detail. So, and my previous experience when I tried this a couple of years ago, that was not true, that the video was just awful. So, anyhow, that's a good sign. And like I said, if we could, the mic problem, I think, is not a big deal. I'm sure there's lots of options we can look at. But something where, yeah, Carly's right, where they don't lift their head or look to the left or look to the right and then lose the connection. If we can find something that they either wear like you guys are wearing, or like we normally wear, or a lanyard that I hang around my neck, whatever works is fine. I mean, I don't think it needs to be a lot of money. So
just if you could, what are you seeing from, you say, the video where Roshan is sitting? Can you? Because that's where you're sitting. So that's what the public will see.
I thought that many, many times, but I can see the back of his head, and that's
right.
And if he couldn't find ways, I can see right through his ears. But that's not. I'm having fun with your workshop.
That's okay. Thanks.
And it is awkward. I would love to find a better configuration for how we use the camera or where the camera is, but it's easy to say that. You know, I've thought about it many times, even while I've been sitting there wondering, you know, is there a way we could do this? And I don't know. It seems not easy anyway. So undoubtedly, whatever problem we solved, we'd probably create another one. But
no, that's good. I mean, at least we have a video. Some of the townships are having trouble even getting that. So
yeah. Well, and the connection stayed solid the whole time too, so I didn't have any issues that way. And I was tempted to jump in and tell Tom in particular I couldn't hear him, but I thought, you know, it's not going to aid the conversation. And again, this is an initial meeting. I do have lots of notes, and hopefully we can come back and revisit these things and make it better and find some way to pay for these things. So,
well, I'm thinking it won't be, you know, as it happens, it won't be streamed as such, but there will be an audio that the township puts on the website, and that's everything that was said today, and it'll be clear.
Sure. And Carly, I was impressed when you said that you could see the transcript or the text, whatever you want to call it. I didn't even think of that at the time. I do know that I can see it when I'm sitting there and I turn to the screen, but I didn't try it on my phone, and I'm not really sure how to even go in and do it. But maybe that's something we could be telling anybody else that's watching too. So
sounds good. Anything else for Trent?
No.
Okay, we have resolution 24-623, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Cuckin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby arise and report from Committee of the Whole at
4:17 p.m.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed.
Recorded.
Recorded. Yes. Third.
Councilor Morley Hoskin?
Yeah, yes.
Councilor Mike Cuckin?
Yes.
Councilor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Councilor Debbie Zulak?
Yes.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes. That's 4 yeas, no nays, so it's carried. 5 yeas, sorry. Not trying to forget you. Resolution 24-624, moved by Councilor Haslam, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-81, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council the first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed an open council this 22nd day of November 2024.
Councilor Morley Hoskin?
Yes.
Councilor Mike Cuckin?
Yes.
Councilor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Councilor Debbie Zulak?
Yes. Mayor, can I just say that we didn't question?
Oh.
Okay. The person is not on there anymore?
No.
So he left a while ago.
We can say that we had the opportunity for question comment period will show up in a minute, but I don't think there's anybody that speaking to it.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes. That's 5 yeas, no nays, so it's carried. Resolution 24-625, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
4:19 p.m.
to meet again on December the 3rd, 2024, at the call of the mayor.
Councilor Morley Hoskin?
Yes.
Councilor McKechnie?
Yes.
Councilor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Councilor Debbie Zulak?
Yes.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes. It's 5 yeas, no nays, so that's carried. So the meeting is now adjourned.